Welcome to everyone to Pixar Spective episode.
Welcome to everyone.
Welcome everyone to Pixar Spective episode
14.
14. I am Random Bystander here.
I am the Wash.
I'm in college.
I knew it.
And I said, knew it. You talk to me like that again? With who?
With who?
What'd she say?
You know my mom.
She sent me to my room.
I do impressions of those two at work, and everybody tells me they're spot on.
Oh, they're great. They are fantastic. I miss them.
I miss them too.
Why weren't they? I mean,
the
I know why.
The last thing
we
heard them say was, they're going to shut down the factory.
Can I, okay, I'm going to preface by saying, even though this episode is about Mach 2's University, I saw Mach 2's University and I went back to Mach 2's Incorporated. I have not revisited any of the Pixar films since we started this. I did a real disservice when I was talking about it during rankings, because it is fan goddamn tastic. I love it
and
so much.
And he's changing the ranking again.
No.
Yeah, I was just going to say, so many of these movies are fantastic.
Yeah.
They are. I haven't really revisited them. I was tempted to watch this movie in particular twice, believe it or not.
You're going to pull a Count Rancid, and you're going to
I was going to pull a Count Rancid, who watched Cars 2 twice, God bless his soul.
And Cars 1, I believe.
And Cars 1 twice, jeez. I understand Cars 1, but Cars 2 twice? I can't.
That's rough. That's
that is rough. That is like, that's like a death sentence on your brain cells. But
we're talking about a whole bunch of different films instead of the one we're currently talking about, Monsters University.
Believe it or not, Monsters University.
Believe it or not.
I'm walking on air.
So what's our history with this movie, fellas?
Well,
did we all
do
this together?
Yes, I'm pretty sure we did.
I think we did, yeah. Okay.
I think so.
We did see it all together. I think I was worried for Wash. A bit.
All three of us were worried for him.
Yeah.
I know what you were talking about, because like Monsters Incorporated was for a long time, that was my top Pixar film.
And we were all worried, like, oh my god, they're going to destroy it. And also, an interesting factor for all three of us, we all finished at least our first year of college by the time this movie came out.
We did.
Yes.
And to see this movie for the first time when going to college, and for Kirby fan and I, seeing this movie again after graduating college,
yeah,
that made it a whole lot more interesting. But we'll get to that when we get to that.
Mm.
We all saw it in theaters.
Yes.
Was there a short in this one? I can't
there
remember.
There was, yes. It was,
what was
I,
the short?
I believe the short for this one was The Blue Umbrella. I'll have to check.
Oh, yes!
Yeah, it was definitely The Blue Umbrella, you're right.
I don't remember how I originally felt about this one when I first saw it in theaters. I want to say I thought it was all right at the time. But then, years later, I was watching it. I think after I graduated community college, when I was just had my associates. And I think I watched it on Stars, of all things. You know, Stars and Pixar films for me.
Yeah.
And I just remember hating it.
Mm.
Like, not Cars 2 level of hating it, but just, like, being annoyed by so many things about it. Mm. Except for the ending. But
yes. Yes.
But we'll get to that. And then I never really wanted to watch it. I always hear people, especially a certain critic who I looked up to at the time, who will not be named, he pretty much said he hated it, and I kind of was like, oh yeah, he hates it, I hate it too. And watching that and feeling like that way proved it, because at the time it was just hard to watch during when I just graduated from community college, because I was like, nothing's like that, I went to community college, this college isn't like that. But and then I watched it again now after like not watching the film since then, probably. Although I do remember, did we watch it together after that?
We did watch it together another time. The one thing I remember was us saying that was overall okay, but, and I remember Kirby fans saying this, I don't need to see this again.
Yet here we are.
And here we are.
All right, that's my history. I know all of ours kind of blends together, but tell your story, Wash.
I don't remember. I actually don't remember much about the experience in the theater. I recall the short, which I haven't seen in a long while, so I don't know how well it holds up. What I definitely remember was that, like, the ending kind of blew us away. Like, when this came out, like everybody, kind of everybody was worried because, like, Cars 2 came out and Brave came out and was, like, middling. Then this comes out. It's a prequel to a previous film. And the word prequel had some doom quotes around it. Like,
oh, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks, George
Lucas. George Lucas. Did we just both cough and do that at the same time?
Well, I would clear
you're
my
on
throat.
Equal wavelength. That was awesome.
Because the huge problem with, like, prequels in general is that because it took place before a previous story, you know where the characters are going to be at the end of it. I remember, like, liking it enough to say that, like, Pixar actually figured out how to do a prequel. And then we watched it again. I remember my opinion on it went down, except for the ending. And then I haven't seen it since. I don't recall much. It's just kind of been like, oh yeah, Monsters University. That was a thing. Oh, I do have one. This is barely has anything to do with it, but I remember around the time this movie was coming out, random, you shared me, I don't know how this came about, but you shared me a YouTube video of a Mike Wazowski costume at a Disneyland or Disney World.
I know what you're talking about now.
I don't.
There was, oh God! There if was I can a, find
there was,
it,
there
I
was
will.
like a guy in his 20s, let's say, like walking up to the Mike Wazowski. And the thing with the Mike Wazowski costume is that the only thing articulate about it are the legs. The arms are a suggestion. They're in a constant like pose because they're like two things for human arms. So the costume was like it turned around, it walked, and it tripped on one of his toes and fell over. And I liked the video enough that I put it over into Photoshop. I turned it into a GIF, and I put the GIF on Tumblr, and that GIF ended up exploding because of the timing of it.
Did you like call it like Leaked Monsters University?
It was called Leaked Monsters University.
Or like something about that, like something like Leaked Monsters University ending or something.
Something like that. And there was some, I had some troubles with Photoshop, so the GIF came out like 2 times slower than the original video. But I guess that was part of the charm that people liked about it. And so now every so often I'm browsing around, and when somebody mentions Mike Wazowski, someone's gonna post that GIF, and it's like, that's my GIF.
Where is it? Hold on, I want to see if I can find
trademark it. Random bystander here.
Yeah, you gotta give me credit. I want
it's somewhere on my, because I can share it to you later. It's on my Tumblr.
You have to post it on like the, you have to like while we're talking.
that's my,
oh,
one
I found
other...
it, I found it. It's like the first thing I see.
Oh wow,
you have Wash to thank for that.
Anyway, so I have very tiny, like, internet fame because of Monsters University.
Oh, yep, I see the slow version. Oh, it's on Twitter now. I'm just going to post it on Twitter with no context whatsoever.
Anyway, Kirby fan, what's your experience with this?
Much of the very same experience as you guys had. Wash pretty much said it all. When he mentioned that, I said, I don't think I need to see it again. You are just a tiny bit mistaken, though. I know you don't remember this, Wash, but there was a point where me and you, without random, attempted Pixar-spective again. Because the first time with all of us, that failed miserably. And then me and you attempted it again. We did Toy Story. Brave was the other one, but I don't remember. And then Monsters University. That was
the
order.
I remember this.
We skipped really hard. But we got to Monsters University, and that is when I said, I don't think I need to see it again. And you went, really? And when I saw it in the theater, I thought it was good. I didn't think it was great. I thought it was good. I don't remember if me and Wash saw it next or if all three of us. I don't remember what the order specifically was, but this is not a movie that I was too personally attached to because, especially back then, unlike you two, I thought Monsters, Inc. was tolerable. It was good. I was in that edgy phase, I guess.
You were just getting out of it because you started watching Pixar films with us.
Yeah. Yeah, but I still remember thinking, you know, Monsters, Inc., oh, it's a good kids movie. I don't know about me, though. Maybe a little childish. Not original enough or something stupid.
I mean, it ripped off Monster in the Closet.
It ripped off Ariel Monsters!
Yeah, it looks like Howie Mandel Monster. That classic.
Some stupid critique of Monsters, Inc. Obviously, now I adore Monsters, Inc.
Yeah.
But, well, I guess that's a part of my Monsters University history. I watched Monsters, Inc., loved it, and realized that I was going to have to watch Monsters University.
At this point, it was also, like, obligation because we were, like we've talked about in the Cars 2 episode, we ended up having, like, this tradition to watch all the Pixar films.
Some I like the tradition, but other times when it's Cars 2, didn't like the tradition. But we're not... Let's talk about it. Who wants to do a plot synopsis?
Like we said, this takes place however many years before Monsters Incorporated, because we don't know their exact age, but we'll say something like 10, 20 years, somewhere between that. Mike Wazowski, since when he was a little kid, has had this dream to become a scarer, to work at a plant like Monsters Incorporated and scare children. He grows up, he becomes a top-notch student, gets into Monsters University, and he's ready to go into the book and learn everything. Along the way, he meets his future friend, but current acquaintance, Sully, who he does not view very kindly because he's the kid that's just gotten off easy. He's the kid that's just gotten off on the family name. And Mike needs to prove to himself that he has what it takes to become a monster. And the adventure goes on from there.
Yes.
And that's pretty... That's kind of...
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Nice and quick.
Thank you. I was very, very scared about that, but I you know what? I just stopped being scared.
Good.
That's good.
One minor
detail you forgot, though.
There are a lot of details I skipped over.
One very minor one, though, that I just feel like bringing up in the case of the plot synopsis. Along the way, they forgot what Monsters Incorporated was as a movie, so instead of rewatching it, they just ignored it.
No, okay. I know exactly what we're talking about, so let's, before we get into the characters, let's first address that elephant in the room. In Monsters Incorporated, they have an exchange, and Mike Wazowski says to Sully, "You've been jealous of my looks since the fourth grade, pal."
Oh God, I forgot about that line.
In the bonus features themselves, they specifically mentioned this, and they actually were going to write in that they first met each other in the fourth grade, but they had a big problem, which was that, like, how do you keep that hatred going? Dan Scanlon, the director, went up to Pete Docter, and Pete Docter said, "It's fine. You can ignore the line." It's still an issue in terms of a prequel. I'm not going to doubt that. But this at least has the director's blessing.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's not what I was specifically referring to.
What were you referring to?
What were you referring to?
The movie.
I'm guessing you didn't like this one.
We don't know that yet. It's just it doesn't work as I dropped this pretty early. I don't think it works as a prequel to Monsters, Inc. necessarily, but maybe it works as a movie on its own. Let's see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's talk about the characters. Mike Wazowski. There we go. I made that joke.
This is an odd one because, like, unlike in the Toy Story 3 discussion where we actually skipped over Woody and Buzz, in this case they're kind of... Mike to is arguably in a not really a certain extent, but Mike and Sully are just kind of like fresh new characters at this point.
Yeah.
Yes. I agree.
Like Mike is ambitious. He's determined.
And the biggest change is that in Monsters Inc., he has his own things that he does, but you know he's willing to help Sully break the scare record. It's not, "I'm going to break the scare record." It's, "I'm going to help my best friend break the scare record." In this movie, Mike wants gung-ho. Mike wants to do everything himself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest, I like that.
I liked it a lot, too.
I liked Mike a lot too. I liked Mike a lot here. I don't know if I liked him more in Monsters, Inc., but I thought Mike was likable. And rhyme was intentional.
I loved how he's so genuine. He's so earnest.
Yeah.
Just, he's so likable.
Like, this is the instant rebuttals to Cars 2. Like,
yeah.
Absolutely. If you're gonna, like, you're gonna have a sequel / prequel about a secondary character, this is the way to do it. And, like, yeah. Mike actually had the grounds for a movie about himself, or at least like an origin story about himself.
Yeah, I mean, you could argue Mike was somewhat of a main character in Monsters, Inc., but it was Sully's story, if you really think about it. But this one, it's no doubt it's Mike's story.
Yeah.
It's no doubt he's the main protagonist.
Don't remember what episode I bought these terms up in, but whatever episode it was, the whole protagonist, deuteragonist, whatever.
Oh, yes, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. In Monsters, Inc., Sully would be the protagonist, Mike Duder, and flip-flop for Monsters U. I think it works.
It does work. You don't hate the main character.
Yeah, you like the main character. You actually like the main character a lot.
I liked him a lot.
I liked whenever he was on screen. There was only very few points where I got annoyed at him that existed.
Yeah.
But even then, most of the time I saw where he was coming from. If anything, I was more annoyed at Sully at points. But
It's not that Mike so much annoyed me, but okay, so Pixar movies always have great ways of opening. I guess Cars 2 and Bug's Life are my two exceptions, but Cars 2's was just so funny and how stupid it was. I give it the pass. But Bug's Life till now is probably the only movie that I didn't like from Pixar, how it opened. Wow! That has changed.
Yeah.
No. Oh, yeah. God. This movie was rough. This was bad. I think what bothered me most is that the movie specifically mentioned that there were 20 students, and yet Mike still didn't end up with a partner.
Yeah.
They went in groups of two. There are 20 students. That's not how math works. They are just doing this so that they force you to feel bad for Mike. I hate that. That is emotional manipulation.
At least add one student.
Make the class the size of 21 or 19. Remove a character. That's all you have to do.
We're having a good dinosaur. Remove one bland monster. Like, we already have enough.
Yeah.
God, I have it.
We're talking about Mike, not the monster design.
Yeah, that's going to be a whole other discussion. But
we'll get to that.
Yes.
So that really bothered me about the opening.
Yeah.
I'm just going to bring this up and then we'll get right back to Mike, I promise. But definitely what bothered me the most about the opening was that, you know, Mike goes into the scare hall. He enters the door. The monster is setting up for the scare. Great. Scaring. That was one of the cool parts about Monsters, Inc. that, you know, and you get to see a lot of, but it was still a big part of the movie. Yeah. You know, it's been, what, 12 years, something like that? 11?
It was 12 years. Monsters Inc. came out in 2001. This came out in 2013.
Yeah, so 12 years. Great. It's been 12 years. Ready to see a monster do some scaring again. It's been a while. This is going to be great. And then as the monster goes to scare the kid, it cuts. You don't even get to see the monster's shadow. It cuts to the freaking scare jar.
The way it's like it opened with like a pigeon.
Yeah.
And then you start to realize that, like, oh, the pigeon has two heads, and we're in the monster world, and it's like, okay. When I was rewatching Monsters, Inc., there's like a little bit of like drum beat, like do, and then like instantly, like, you're transported into this jazz sensation, and it's this gorgeous 2D animated opening sequence. You get, even though it doesn't tell you a single thing about the plot, you get that this is a film about monsters, and this is a goddamn romp. This is a fun ride. And here it's the very cliched, Mike is a lonely kid, not well liked.
You don't belong here. Oh my god,
the ghost cliched college movie lines, like, ah.
Well, then that was a preschool. Like
you
said,
you don't
time.
Belong yes, here. Said by the blandest goddamn designs. We'll get there.
You know what they managed to do, which really made me sad. Uh-huh. So that opening bit, that was 2D animated. That was a callback to the original movie.
It was. Cool.
Yeah, I liked it, but they got rid of what made it super cool to begin with. There's no credit integration. There's no exploration into the monster world. There's no cool, jazzy, upbeat, drum-filled slam like you were saying before.
It was just marching band music. Yeah.
Yeah, it was very... To me, it sounded generic. And Mike's studying and being accepted into the university, that's fine. But it's so much less... It's less fun than all the monster stuff.
And it's shorter. It's shorter than the original.
It is a lot shorter.
Yeah.
Remember how... I know I said this already, but I do opening analysis stuff on my channel, so I'm really into this. You know how in Monsters, Inc., there's so much integration with the opening credits... They're listing names and the monsters are actually interacting with the text.
Yes.
And it actually shows the staff of the movie and it's really cool.
Yeah.
This had none of that.
No.
It had the title of the movie, but that was it.
Yeah. And it's so sad about like the Martian band stuff because overall, I actually like the music in this.
Especially the
theme of the song, which is like a combination of like jazz and Martian band, so it becomes like a big band, essentially. And when the credits were rolling, I found myself actually like humming along to the song. Like it was pretty damn fun. But that marching band music in the opening, I can't remember a thing except that it was marching band music.
That was not a great
opening. I will say, I laughed a lot in the general like beginning of the film. I found myself laughing a lot and feeling like, oh god. And is this movie going to be ranked higher purely because I'm laughing at it?
Maybe.
And then the middle part happened. So I didn't have to worry about that.
That's really funny that you say that because I specifically have a note here that the first joke in the movie that I laughed at was almost 10 and a half minutes in. I didn't laugh for over 10 minutes. And the joke that made me laugh was a stupid joke about an art club. Which,
oh, yeah, I like that. I like that one.
It was funny. I say it was stupid, but I say that in the good way. It was a very funny joke.
Yeah.
But that's 10 and a half minutes where I was just not laughing.
The thing is, I laughed kind of earlier than that, but I think the only reason I laughed was because it was Billy Crystal playing Mike again. And I just...
Yeah.
That put a smile on my face.
Yeah, that made me happy. Because he was just eating up the character, chewing the scenery
Exactly.
That whole opening monologue he does is just him chewing scenery like he's eating a sub at Wawa.
And like we said, he's voicing Mike, a character we all really like.
Yeah, and it's like he did a fantastic job with this. Like I props to Billy Crystal. Like he put in not only like a lot of comedy, but a lot of like gravitas into this. Like good on him.
Yeah. He did a lot of his dramatic side showed with this one a lot.
Yeah.
Too. Like if anything, with Monsters Inc. he was focused on comedy, but with Monsters University, it allowed him to like branch out a little bit and just like
there
were points where I actually felt sorry for Mike and. I wanted him to succeed, and I felt really bad when he didn't, or when he was struggling.
That was promising, at least. That was part of what like kept me along for a lot of it was Mike himself.
I can't really think of a point where I just didn't like him. I mean,
there were
parts that annoyed me, but overall, I never really thought, man, I don't like Mike. I never thought that.
Yeah. Usually, either he did what he thought was best for himself, or he did what was funny, or what was best for Uzma Kappa. There we go. That's what it's called.
Uzma Kappa, yes.
Contrast this to Sully.
Yes, let's talk about Sully. I liked when he finally became Sully. Until then, he was just like, oh.
Yeah, like when he wasn't Sully and you're just like trying to be a jerk.
Yeah.
And to be fair, there were times even when he was Sully, he would flip-flop. Even in the beginning, like when he introduces himself to Mike, it's closer to actual Sully than like because he's just like, oh, what am I doing? Name Sullivan.
I can kind of see that, but it's just that like it's in the context of like, hey, you just brought a pig in my room.
Buddy, why are you in my room?
Your room? This is not my room.
I like that. Like I said, it was right around when Sully was introduced. I was actually like enjoying like quite a lot of it. I even enjoyed like the Randall stuff, which we'll get to soon.
We will.
And then Sully came up. There were a couple good stuff, and then they took it all the way to the fraternity, And that was where we got to saw the single worst villain in any Pixar film.
Oh my god.
I don't know if...
Let's...
Should we... Wait, hold on. We haven't talked about Sully that much, though.
That's true. This hasn't happened since A Bug's Life, so I just... Do you two remember the scene where, and I have to be the one to bring this up. I'm going to be so mad at myself if it's not me, but you two know the scene where Mike and Sully and Uzma Kappa break into, not, they don't break into Monsters, Inc., but they just break into the factory so they could watch the scares.
Yeah.
And then Mike and Sully start to bond. Sully pouts and goes, "I've been a real jerk."
Yes.
That... Yeah. I was ready for it. I've been saying I'm a real jerk leading up to it, even in the Pixar perspective, but when it hit me, I had to pause the video and I just started laughing, and before I knew it, I was crying.
Came out of nowhere.
For the first time since A Bug's Life, a Pixar movie broke me.
Ooh, that's a good sign.
I will give credit where credit is due. Bug's Life did it more than once. Monsters University was at one time.
Okay.
Still.
I've been a real jerk.
It came out of nowhere.
Who wrote that line?
It was so bad.
And the trouble was that, like, after that, I started to enjoy Sully more. The most we ever got was that, like, he got quiet while they were watching the scares, and then they talked about... Essentially baseball cards. They talked about scarer cards. And then he just says, "I've been a real jerk."
Like, you could have just said that, but it could have just been like, there could have been, it could have been done visually. They could have been done visually.
Yeah, they could have been something more to this, because before that point, like Sully had called the entire fraternity a lost cause. And then he says, "I've been a real jerk."
The worst part had to be, there's a scene pretty shortly after, because Mike and Sully sleep in the same room, and there's a point, you know, during a montage to kind of symbolize that they're getting to know each other a lot better and work with each other a lot better, that Sully wakes up, you know, says it's the morning time or whatever, Mike gets up, and the room is so small that when they were first in there, they were bumping into each other and slapstick, but... They've got this routine down so well that not only are they not bumping into each other, they're helping each other get ready in the morning.
Yeah.
And I love that.
I love that too.
It was perfect. It was perfect.
Honestly,
it was so much better than "I'm being a jerk." Or I got the quote wrong, whatever.
I've been a real jerk.
So have I.
That's the name of this episode.
You could have so easily done something like Ratatouille, when Linguini and Colette are first, like, paired with each other, and Colette is extremely aggressive, but slowly, like bit by bit, they warm up to each other. And you could have so easily done something like that, where they notice that, like, they notice little bonds, the ice chisels off a little more, and then you get to that point. Say the damn... That shit.
Show don't tell movie. Show don't tell.
Which it does. After it shows after it tells. This
yeah,
is so
honestly,
backwards.
Like it's weird. Once Mike and Sully work together, it almost feels like it's Monsters, Inc. again.
Yeah, that was what I was saying. It's like
works
from the start of when you see the bully and you see all that, and then once like Sully gets over himself. To an extent, which I'll talk about a little later. From point A to point B, I was having a really hard time going through this. And then there was that change, which is laughable. And then, okay, you know what? I'm starting to enjoy this. And then there's like the cliche stuff with the scare games. And then they go into the human world. And it's like, you know what? This is really working for me. And then it's like, oh my god, do I like this?
that was me, pretty much. I was like, I ended up like, wait, I like this?
And that's the thing, because like I said, from the start until when they have that thing with the pig, I was mostly liking a lot of the jokes and liking Mike Wazowski and Randall. And then most of it was not great. In fact, it wasn't even, I can barely call it good. Yeah, but I liked the ending a lot.
No, I liked more than the ending. There were some good things about the movie that I would give it credit for. But we should address something that Kirby Fan wanted to discuss before. But first, Kirby Fan, before we address the thing you wanted to discuss before, is there anything else you wanted to address?
I guess really quick, just because before we get into the utter negative, we should discuss a positive. I liked Randall.
Yes, Randall.
Yes.
Randall was
so
great.
Okay, best joke of the movie, easy, was Randall with the glasses.
Oh my god.
Easily, that was the best joke.
I specifically remember, like, sometime after, I think it was, like, when we, like, rewatched it, I pointed out, you know what, this suddenly explains why Randall thought that Mike Wazowski was Boo in the dark. Because
oh my
he
god,
can't
it
see.
Explains yes. so much.
One of many aspects where it weirdly improved on Monsters Incorporated.
And honestly, Randall's a much better character in this than in Monsters, Inc.
Yeah, like you kind of get it. He
like
somehow,
Randall,
some way, yes.
Like, Randall, he's just a jerk. He's just annoying. He's like another character in this movie, but he has some funny moments, but he's just a jerk. With this one, they start him off with, like, threatening light. Well, no. First off, they're like, well, I can't wait to enjoy my new friend for the rest of my life. And you open the door. You think it's Sully. No, it's Randall. Oh, God. But then he comes and he's like, hey, roomie. And he's like, has glasses. And it's like, oh, my God.
I can't wait for him to be best pals. And it's like they actually have, like, bonding together. They help each other study. They have a fun little moment where you start to see that Randall really wants to get with the cool kids because he thinks that's what college is about. And do a thing like that. He put out some cupcakes and he said, be my pal, but the P is upside down. So he said, whoop, that would have been embarrassing.
And then later during the pig, he's like, cupcake. And then Mike knocks him out. And then all the cupcakes land on him where it just says lame.
Yes.
I don't know how to feel about if it weren't for that, whoops, that could have been embarrassing. It wouldn't have been as funny.
Yeah.
That's true.
A joke with payoff.
Yeah, that's very true.
It's a dumb joke, but the fact that it paid off, that made it better. Which, I like the humor of this movie a lot, sometimes. Like, like there are times where it misses the mark, but
yes.
Random, maybe you don't think it's funny because you just don't belong here. Let's talk about him.
Okay, so
worst character in this.
Can I say, is this the worst villain in Pixar history? I think it is.
Absolutely.
Like, this is bottom of the barrel.
It's bottom of the barrel, but I'm not sure if I can call it the worst. Because like, Axelrod is pretty dumb.
The Cars 2 one, maybe because I was just upset like everything else in the movie, but I wasn't as enraged with the Cars 2 villains as I was with the bully. Because he was so bland, and he had nothing else to it. And I'm sorry, Nathan Lane. No, not Nathan Lane. Nathan Fillion. I don't know how. Damn it.
Well, I was like, if it was Nathan Lane, that character would have been
he would have given him some flavor.
I wish Nathan Lane voiced the bully.
Yeah. Nathan Fillion, I'm sorry. You do some good work elsewhere. This ain't it.
It was so, it was just like, it's just the bully.
It's the bully. That's literally all it is. He has a constant, like raised eyebrow look. And
he looks like he's starring in a DreamWorks film.
Yes. And it was just, like, nothing to him. Like, his name, I forgot his name until somebody finally said it. And I was like, oh, I better write this down or else I'm going to forget it again.
Don't remember his name.
Yeah, me neither. I'm with you, Random.
I just call him the bully.
His name is Johnny P. Worthington III.
Yeah, I just call him the bully.
He's the bully.
The bully.
And you may have the argue, or he's the antagonist. He has to be the driving conflict. No! That goes to Scrabble Bottom or whatever the hell her name is.
Oh, yeah, the Scrabble Bottom. Hard Scrabble.
Hard Scrabble. That's it.
I love Scrabble Bottom.
Scrabble Bottom.
I didn't know her name either. I didn't really care. Could you tell I didn't really like the antagonist very much?
Scrabble Bottom Jeans.
Boots with the fur.
With the fur.
The bully was looking at her.
I love you, Random. I love you, Random.
Anyways, Hard Scrabble was more of an antagonist and more threatening than this bully would ever be.
Yes.
She fell into a similar category of the bully in that she had her character archetype and pretty much just filled that. But when she said words, I didn't know what every single one of them was going to be when she was on screen after 2 seconds.
Yes.
Yeah. Honestly. Yeah.
And she did play a part in the ending, which is worth something.
Yes, it is worth something. I'll say that, like, apart from the design, which is one of the few, like, standouts in terms of the character design, I didn't like Hardscrabble until the ending.
I feel the exact same way as you do, actually. I think her design is incredible.
Yes.
On par with the best of the best from Monsters, Inc., even.
Yeah.
Maybe even better than any of the designs from either movie. She's
might be.
So
I'll have to think on that.
But her character, I'm with you. I didn't hate her, but I didn't like her all that much until the ending.
Yeah, same here. And before she was just like, oh, this is the villain, kind of.
Like you said, she fished a lot of the bully types. Like, her whole thing is that, like, I don't trust you. I don't trust you.
I don't believe in you. I think you're going to fail, and I'm just going to watch you fail.
Yeah.
I think what bothered me the most about her, when Mike and Sully were growling at each other during the final exam, which, by the way, I just want to drop this. If I went to college and paid college loans and, you know, college money, I did all that, only to have the dean say, oh, if you're not up to snuff in 4 months, you're out. I'd be pissed,
but they do that with, like, acting and stuff, too, so...
Yeah, that's the thing. This is specifically a scaring program, so it's not like they're kicking them out completely out of the school. She's still gonna get their money.
Yeah, regardless.
Because she's a shitty school president.
Dean. She's not the president. There's a difference.
Oh, that okay, fair.
There is a difference.
There is a difference. Yeah. I apologize.
But what really... you know, kind of started me down on the, okay, I really don't like, was when Mike and Sully were growling at each other during the final exam, which every final exam I've taken, you're not allowed to talk at all, but whatever. They were growling at each other. Sully trips over one of Mike's books, goes, whoa, 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 and tumbles into the scare can. And because of that, she moves both Mike and Sully away without even, you know, letting them try. And Sully, there is a very clear purpose for this. He destroyed a prized possession of hers. It was him that did it. He's the one who egged the other person on. He's the one who tripped. Everything is Sully's fault. Mike has worked hard. He has put his best effort in. He has made great improvements that professors in the university can vouch.
Uh-huh.
He's likable. He's the one character in the movie at this point that you're really like, yeah, go Mike. Go Mike. You're the best, Mike. We love you, Mike. And she still doesn't give him a chance. She still sends him. She still sends him home. And when Mike, when she first comes down and picks up the broken scare can, whatever they're called, Sully's like, oh, it was an accident or whatever. But you genuinely, and when Mike says, I'm so sorry, you hear in his voice, he feels terrible about it. Even all this, she doesn't give him the time. Because at that point, she was under the assumption that he wouldn't be scary, and that I didn't like that.
And especially, like, which became so conflicting about that stuff, because that's a major part of that, is that Mike, for as much as he studies and all that, he's just not scary. And they're like, okay, fine, that's the driving arc of all of this. But what threw me off with that was, yes, Mike Wazowski is not scary, but The big part of when they were visiting Monsters Incorporated, what they were saying that, like, every monster is different. And no monster is the same, and they all take their own, they find their own advantages, and they find their own ways of scaring. And that was another thing that I noticed when I was rewatching Monsters Incorporated, with that they even make a point, and it becomes a major part with like Boo and Randall, that like every child is matched to their ideal monster. Give him the bedwetter. Give him the easy one.
Yeah, he'd probably do a better job with the easy one than any of the other monsters would.
Oh yeah, like he knows this shit, and it's like he can look through it, and he knows all the fears. He knows exactly what are the poses to do. And
honestly, this transitions into the ending, but I kind of want to start talking about the ending now just because there's so much to talk about. But you want to know who you should give Mike to? The adults.
Yeah. Yeah. Because Mike may not be quote-unquote scary, but he knows what to do. And he was able to scare adults to the point where he could power up a door.
Yeah.
That was, like, completely out of power.
Because he's read every single book and he's heard about this, he's found something about this being a possibility, being able to power a door from the inside. I really like that idea of being able to power it in from the inside.
Yeah, even Harb's, even I don't know what to call her now. So even Scrabble Bottom,
call her the Dean.
Even Scrabble Bottom is surprised by it.
It was kind of annoying when she said, "Surprise me." I highly doubt that. And then at the end, it's like, but from that moment isolated, I like that. Like, you've done something that nobody's in the school ever done. You surprised me. I like that in the ending.
I just didn't like the villains in this movie. It didn't. They felt forced. They felt forced.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One more forced than the other. Yes. Dean Hardscrabble, fine. You need to have some conflict in the movie. Yeah. Fine. At bare minimum, you could have done something with the bully. Something.
Something. Instead, he just has like this wily sidekick played by Bobby Moynihan. And it was
like,
just
make it Bobby Moynihan then. <That'd be> funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't like Bobby Moynihan in this, but
I didn't either, but
yeah,
would have been a lot better if he played a bigger role and wasn't a comic relief for a comically bad villain.
Yeah. Even though I liked watching this better than the past, I still hated the bully.
That has not changed.
That's not and will never change. It is literally bottom of the barrel stock villain type of character.
It was so like, bad.
And there was even a point where like the bully was just like actually like invited Uzma Kappa, and he was actually like congratulating them, but of course he like betrays them and like does this whole thing, and that could have just been fine. You didn't have to do that. You could have just been like, what if, even if he had, if he was a bully but had good sportsmanship, you know, that probably would have made the movie 10 times better. But instead, no. From the very end, the bully even goes, when Mike's up, it's like, you don't belong here. And I'm just like, God.
What's so bad about this is that there was no, like, if you're going to have that sort of an antagonist, have a comeuppance. All that's happened is that, like, at the end, like, after the scare games, the bully, Johnny the bully, walks up to Sully and says, "Hey, you're back in the Fortuna." And Sully, like, walks past him and says, "Hey, where are you going?" And he disappears.
Yeah,
nothing else happened.
Never in the movie again.
Never in the movie again. Like, that was it.
If anything, our heroes get more of a comeuppance than they do.
Yeah, honestly.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't like the bully. No one likes the bully.
No one likes the bully. Did any of us like Uzma Kappa?
Hit and miss.
Hit and miss, yeah. More hits than misses, I will. I liked... Oh my god, I don't know their names.
Okay, so there's Squibbles, voiced by Peter Stone, the director of A Good Dinosaur.
Scribbles? Don't you mean Squishy?
No, his name is Squibbles.
Oh, but his friends call him Squishy, okay.
His friends call him Squishy, yeah. There's Terry and
Terry.
Oh,
it's that? Oh.
Yeah, there's Terry and Terry. There's Art, the wacky one. And there's, Don Carlton, who's the mature student. And I kind of like that idea of having a mature student, because we don't often see movies that address that.
Yeah. I liked, it was basically hit and miss. Some of them had, I liked, I'll get into the end after I talk to them all, but like Don Carlton, I liked, he was pretty all right.
Yeah.
Squishy had his moments.
It was more like, I liked the subtle, running gag of like people being constantly scared of Squishy. Like he just like shows up and you're like, oh,
where'd you come from? You got to work on it.
It pays off because that's how it's shown that, they got the flag in the second Scare game.
Yeah. And yeah, yeah, it's shown how he just randomly shows up with the, yeah, like during his Scare game portion in the finals where he just like, you think he's one place and then he turns, you just see like this demented face. He makes.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's,
oh, it's so good.
Oh god. He's pretty cool. Yeah. Art is probably my favorite.
he played by Charlie Day from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. We had a name for him, but it only makes sense between the three of us, but
yeah.
He was the Walter. Oh. Of the
I know. Yep.
That's no okay. One's gonna get that.
Do you wanna explain that a tiny bit?
Okay, so I used to write plays in high school. I don't want to say the name of the play because I don't want to give away my name and stuff. But there was this character in one of the plays named Walter who was just weird and did random stuff and said and was only around just to be weird and say funny lines. And his name was Walter. And so every time I don't see much characters like him, but when I do, I call them Walters. And it, you wound up getting them to call them Walters. And Art is Walter.
Art is Walter.
Yeah. Especially like when, what makes him a Walter especially are the little lines where there's some backstory that never get explained. Like
I can't go back to jail.
I can't go back to jail. Yeah.
I have an extra toe. Not with me, of course.
Exactly. It's that weird character who says the weirdest stuff, but that makes you think about it, like, wait, what? And it's never explained.
No, that's the important part. It's never explained.
It's never explained. If the Walter gets a backstory, he's no longer a Walter.
Exactly. I was very surprised that I didn't dislike any of them. I didn't laugh a lot at them, which I thought was because a lot of what they were saying was funny, but I wasn't laughing. Maybe I was just in a sour mood. But I did not dislike any of them. I was surprised. I was really expecting to at least dislike some of them.
Yeah, I was expecting to dislike, like, maybe Don Carlton, but no. They all get, or even Terry.
I wasn't crazy on Terry and Terry. It was just more for, like, the conflict that they had together. But I did enjoy to an extent Don Carlton and Squibble, Squishy, and Squishy's mom.
Oh yeah, I forgot about Squishy's mom.
Yeah, especially the, it's such a dumb joke, but it's like I always said, joke, if it makes me laugh, about. It's good enough, which where she dropped them off at Monsters, Inc., and she says, I'll be here listening to my tune, and he just puts on some screamo.
And she just has this like intense,
she's like,
happy
she's
face.
Listening to classics, like the classical music.
And they all grew, and again, each they all like improved in various ways, and were all very useful.
Oh yeah,
and in a way, they helped Mike and Sully get out of hating each other.
Yeah, I think what impressed me the most, I know we kind of briefly touched on it before, but yeah, what impressed me the most was in the final Scare game, they all did good.
Yeah, they all find their own abilities. From the looks, they don't. They're not like conventionally scary, but they find their edge cases, and it's like, oh, why did it have to be different from Mike Wazowski? And another point that I will give, and since we're which is gonna segue into it, they all had good design.
Oh yes, they did. All the main characters had good design. Even some not so main characters.
The Greek Council. The goth played by Audrey Plaza and the
piped up dude with the beak.
Yeah, the guy with the beak. His name is Tyle Laban. I didn't recognize anything from him, but I liked Audrey Plaza a lot, and I liked when like at the very end when they win the Scare game, she finally like loses her cool and like, they won, and just like
Yeah, because like all this time it's just the one guy who's very hype. She's like, "Yeah, it's okay." And then yeah, and then it builds, and then it's just a little switcheroo at the end. It's a very nice payoff. There's like a lot that. Of good payoffs in this.
Yeah, yeah, I like the guy with the beak. I haven't seen like a monster with a beak before, and so it was nice to see that. It was especially nice because it was in a sea of absolute needy, like. I would even say below mediocrity for a lot of the background monster designs.
I don't know why. I don't. I either watched a YouTube video or you showed me the behind the scenes.
I think I showed you the behind the scenes. Yes,
but they wound up mentioning how they made every monster in like specific types of like race.
What specifically
categorizing them?
Yeah, what they specifically did was they, because they had a very similar problem with Wally, which was that they need to have, like often hundreds or maybe like thousands of robots in a single scene, and they had to find a way to get some use out of it. So what they did is that they recycled bits from other robots and like clogged it together, and it's like the major ones, like the makeup robot or the umbrella robot, like. Or the punching robot, like we can have like designs for that, but we probably don't need a brand new design for a single robot that whizzes through in less than a second. They're doing a similar approach to that. The trouble is that they're not robots; they're organic creatures, and so they just all look generic, same.
Yeah,
this felt like video game stuff. Like this felt like a step down.
I think I have, at least for the first film, I have an easier time discerning Cars.
Yeah, because there are some monsters that look very the same in the background, and
it's
there's
so
some
bad. It's so bad.
Like there's a whole like sea of them during like the lecture scenes. And they all look so similar. Like there's one person who sits next to Mike besides Randall, and he's like, they go, "You gotta be kidding me." And I'm like, "Who are you? You're just all the same."
Yeah.
I don't know what the name of this particular design is. I'm sure that has a name, like an internal name for it. But whichever design, do you remember that one monster it showed up for a single gag? When Mike is walking through the school for the first time, and there's a gigantic monster that's casting a frisbee and then throwing it. That particular design had shown up a lot in this film, and I hate it.
Yeah. It looks like something from Spore.
Yes!
Honestly,
that's a very good comparison. That's an extremely good comparison. This looks like Spore. And at least Spore is a video game, so this stuff was like user generated. And I'm not going to pretend that like the monster designs were stellar in the first film, because they were hit and miss. I mean, the important part was the character, but it did at least feel like a lived in world of different variety of monsters and monster types.
Yeah. This one, it felt like they were all the same. I remember one reason I didn't like this movie at first is because I thought, I was like, I went to college and there's nothing about this film that is true about college. No, the orientation leaders aren't just obnoxiously peppy. There's like no one's really it's just doing two cliches. Like no one really goes to college parties that much. No one really like has this college pride for their college, really, because my life was just community college before, and I remember like at one point they were like singing a song like, "Oh, Monsters University," yeah, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, that's so stupid, no colleges do that. Then I went to transferred to a 4-year university. And there was one point where they, like, now watching it, when I heard that like song they sang before the scare game finals, I was like, oh my god. I sang that song. And when they showed the orientation leaders of the like Monsters University, whose names all rhymed, by the way, that didn't get old. And I was like, oh god, that was me. Because I was an orientation leader in college.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And I was like, oh god, I did this. That was me. And I was like, and it was like, maybe this is more like college than I thought. Because I remember like thinking, oh God, this happened to me in college. I experienced this in college. I went to that party in college. And I'm just like, the fact that other than monsters, they kind of got hit all the college tropes.
Yeah, they did.
Some cliches, yes, but others were kind of spot on.
And, okay, so...
Yeah, all right. That's all I want to say.
So we don't have a whole lot of time to talk about the ending now.
No, we don't. We have 5 minutes.
All right. Let's just talk about the lake. Mike tries to prove himself that he really is scary, and he goes like way overboard. He finds an active door. He sneaks in and finds himself in a campground, and he thinks that he can scare somebody, but it doesn't work, and he just exposes himself in front of all the children, and he runs away. Sully follows after him in a very convoluted way. Sully finds Mike at the lake. And Mike is broken. He was proven wrong. Everything people had been telling about him was right. That he just was not scary. And they end up having like a real heart-to-heart about the vulnerability that they both have. They have like a fight with each other first about how Sully doesn't understand what Mike is going through, and it's like, yeah, I don't know what you're going through, but like, I am frightened.
And no, he literally says, I may not act scared, but I'm terrified. Yeah. And that hit home hard.
Yeah.
Especially for like college student life.
Yeah, because that's at that point, when you're in college, like, you don't know where you're gonna be, so what happens? And it's
not even just applicable to college. It's if you're somebody who's naturally good at something versus somebody who works at something, when you have to work for it, you're not much is really expected of you. Other people don't really impact, they don't directly impact you often, but that's the problem. You want to prove yourself and no one's giving you the time of day. Whereas on the other hand, if you are someone that they have everything they need, expectations are put on them. And when that constant pressure is put on you to keep doing good, that's terrifying.
And then, and then when they fail...
Both sides have plenty to worry about.
Yeah. And it's like, there's like genuine like vulnerability between them. And the shot of them sitting at the lake is gorgeous.
Oh my God. That's out of all the things I remembered about Monsters University. That was what I remembered the most. That
was
shot.
Our main takeaway, yeah.
It's my favorite moment of the film by far. It was probably even better than the heart-to-heart moment that they had together in the North Pole, by far.
In the Himalayas, but yes.
In the Himalayas. Yes. Because even then, it's more like Mike gets angry at Sully.
Yeah.
And Sully just like, I'm going. And Mike goes, you go on your own. And then he goes. This one, they both understand each other. They both are vulnerable with each other, and that's the moment where they become and there's one point where Mike goes, how come you never told me? And he's like, because we weren't friends back then.
Yeah, that was
and
really nice.
That's how you handle I've been a real jerk better.
Damn.
And then to make it even better, like they make their way to the camp and try to open the door. Oh no, Scrabble Bottom decides not to do it. and decides to turn off the power, and they work together not to scare the way back, but to scare adults, which is something that's even was in Monsters Inc. wasn't even explored.
Yeah, man.
The concept of how cognitively adults just think so differently from children.
Yeah,
of course, if you know something falls over, a kid's gonna look over and say, "Oh, what fell?" Like, I want to know what fell. Something falls over, and an adult hears it. It's what happened?
What was that?
What was that? You nervously walk towards it and hear scratching noise. A kid's, you know, gonna wake up, maybe think what that was. An adult hears it. They get nervous. You can gradually build to scare an adult. You don't really do that with a kid.
Yeah, and there's even, like, again, another example with the doll. You just see a doll go, meh, 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 which reminded me of Toy Story, by the way. And then you just see her, like, hit the bed and go, meh, meh. A kid would be like, oh, poor Dolly. An adult would be like, that's terrifying.
They make their way back in, but because they cheated at the game, and because they like broke into, they did something extremely illegal in their world with breaking into the human world. They're expelled from the they're still expelled from the school. They're about to split up, and then Sully says to Mike, "I can't do this without you. I need you. I need you by my side. You've been figuring out everything for me." And then Scrabble Bottom comes shows up again, and she says, "You did something that nobody's in this school has ever done before. You surprised me. You're still expelled, but I expect to be surprised again from you two." And then it ends with them as seen in the papers that the Monsters Incorporated is hiring in the mailroom, and they work their way up from the mailroom all the way to the scare floor. And
don't tamper with the mail.
It can lead to punishment. It's like banishment. Best John Ratzenberg cameo in a while.
Yeah. And probably the best cameo of the overall, because some of the other cameos didn't work.
Roz was all right.
There was nothing else. Like, if you didn't see the first film, there was nothing else to Roz.
Yeah.
Okay, final thoughts, everybody. Who's first?
I'll go first. This one was definitely a toughie to rank because I probably spent more like runtime not enjoying it, but the highs were high enough that they canceled out, I probably would say, most of it. Like we've always said, ending is paramount. Like, this really impressed me. The rest of it was incredibly formulaic. I even remember, like, there was a Slate article that was talking about a screenwriting book called Save the Cat that's taken over Hollywood, and brought up Monsters University as an example of a film that just followed the formula way too strictly.
I remember that.
Like, you have the opening image that's mirrored in the final scene. You have the false victory about the three quarters mark. You have the all is lost moment where Mike realizes that he really isn't scary. And then you have the dark night of the soul at the lake. Like, they were going beat by beat with the with this, and the middle especially suffered a ton from that because they just kept going by the numbers. That was probably a big reason why you have that terrible moment where Sully says, "I'd been a real jerk," because that was the point in the movie where they needed to have the change. I think I liked it overall, but
all that, I think I liked it.
No, that's the thing. Is that, like, even though it was mostly formulaic, like, I liked the main character a whole lot. I really enjoyed Mike in this film. The low points were low, and the high points were really high. And it was hard for me to figure out, like, where this ended up ranking. But I think I made my decision. So let's take it to the ever so decisive random.
Oh yeah, so decisive. I was expecting to hate this movie, and I wind up not hating it as much, and actually kind of liked it more than I thought I would. Don't get me wrong, there's still things about this movie that are hot garbage. Like, the bully is the hottest garbage that was ever left on a garbage. It was on, like, a blacktop of a summer day. It was just so hot garbage. But I really wound up liking Mike as a character. I liked Sully once he became Sully, which was halfway through the movie, but still all right. Yes. I liked the ending a lot. It's so good. I liked Uzma Kappa. And I liked how they were pretty accurate with the college tropes. It was so interesting watching this movie after graduating college. I'm not gonna lie. I gotta quote Scrabble Bottom and just be like, it surprised me. Because honestly, how I reacted to this movie was like how Scrabble Bottom reacted to Mike.
Like, at first it was like sheer horror and just like, oh my god. Kobe fan. I'm sorry, I'm still thinking about Scrabble Bottom jeans.
I can't say that I'm with you two on your newfound appreciation of the film. I really did not like it. In fact, I liked it even less than I did when I was watching it back then. I would not say it is garbage. It is not a garbage movie. I'm probably not even going to go as far as to say it's a bad movie. What I will say is that there have been a lot of movies in the Pixar perspective that I haven't been the kindest to. Wall-E and Up, I feel like looking back, I wasn't generous enough to those films, but I don't know. It was probably a lot of nice stuff, just some scathing critique. Wall-E and Up are just two great examples of movies that, as Pixar films, they might not be my favorite, but as films, I love them both. I think they are amazing movies. And Monsters University is an example of one where, on the Pixar scale, I don't really like it, but on the movie scale, I don't really like it either. I think it has a very good ending, and I think it has a very good protagonist. The ending I take no issue with, but my problem with the movie having a good protagonist is that for some reason this movie just loves just putting its protagonist through the worst situations. This movie tortures Mike, and I hated that. I hated how mean this movie was towards a character that didn't deserve it. The main character that didn't deserve it. I didn't like that. I really didn't. It made me sad.
You're 100% fair in that. I cannot blame you for that.
Yeah, especially with the bully. And in fact, that made me hate the bully even more. It's like, Mike doesn't deserve this. Why are you being so mean to him?
Well, speaking of that, boodaloop. Now it's time for the rankings, but...
Ranking time!
Before we get to the rankings, I have a change up.
I knew it!
Yeah, we all knew it.
It's not Monsters Incorporated, though.
Oh, really?
Okay.
No. It was very, very close, but I think that Wall-E ekes it out for having a stellar romantic couple.
So Wall-E is now ahead of Monsters, Inc.
Wall-E is still ahead of Monsters Incorporated.
Yeah, it was ahead before. That's not what changed. So what changed? Oh.
So it was a particular film. Do you need
I'm
me to
look at your list?
Cars is better than Toy Story 3.
Yes.
No.
Oh shit.
Wait, was that it?
Yeah, that's actually it.
I was gonna guess the opposite. I was gonna say whatever movie was below Cars.
I'm looking at the tier list now, and I'm like, are you following my lead with Toy Story 3 being worse than Cars?
Because when we were doing The Brave, and I was looking at my list, and I was like, wait, I put Cars below Toy Story 3? And I'm editing the Toy Story 3 episode right now, and even though like I usually just like go from the beginning and just ran through, I like scan through the end in the rankings and like listen to myself, and like even then I wasn't really so sure. there was even a particular point where like I made a point for Cars against Toy Story 3. So my ranking has now swapped between the two. So I no longer have the perfect symmetry of Toy Story 1, Toy Story 2, Cars, Toy Story 3. And I don't mean that against Cars. It's just that it doesn't have that perfect layout anymore.
Yeah, I know. That is a bit of a bummer.
Now all of us have something that breaks it apart. Although mine is, out of the Toy Stories, mine is the most scattered-brained. Yours is Toy Story 1, Toy Story 2, Cars, Toy Story 3.
If nothing else, we all have Ratatouille at third from the bottom. We still have that.
For now.
Speaking of, let's get that average ready.
Yeah, so I'm not going to calculate the with the change-up, but as of now, the average is, from the bottom up, I'm going to scan through this real quickly. Cars 2, then A Bug's Life, then Ratatouille, then Brave, then Toy Story 3, then Toy Story 2, then Cars, then Toy Story 1, then Monsters, Inc., then Wall-E, then Up, then Finding Nemo, then The Incredibles. And I will make a note that Toy Story 3 and Brave currently are tied for ninth place, which is a weird honor. But now...
That's going to change already.
Yes, that's already going to change. But Random and I both have Cars 2, and Kirby, you have A Bug's Life. So Random, is Monsters Incorporated better than Cars 2?
Yes.
Okay. I agree wholeheartedly. Kirby fan, you have A Bug's Life. Is Monsters University better than A Bug's Life?
Yes.
Okay. Moving on up. Random and I, we both have A Bug's Life. Kirby, you have Cars 2. I think this film is better than A Bug's Life. Kirby, is this better than Cars 2?
Yes.
Okay. Random, is this better than A Bug's Life?
Yes.
All right. Now we finally get to a point where we all have a consensus. All three of us have Ratatouille. I'll start with Random. Is this film better than Ratatouille?
Yes.
I agree. I think this film is better than Ratatouille. I might need to elaborate on that a tiny bit. It was mainly that I just did not like Remy enough. I really liked the main characters and didn't care for the secondary in Monsters U. I really liked the secondary and did not care for the protagonist of Ratatouille. Kirby, is this film better than Ratatouille?
I'm breaking it. I'm sorry. No.
Oh. Right. I just divided again.
We're divided again.
All right. Elaborate. I want to know.
Ratatouille has a protagonist that does bad things, and even if it isn't delivered in the best way, he's punished for his actions and has a redemption arc. Monsters University is a movie that takes pleasure in giving you a likable character, making him likable, and then punishing him for being likable.
That is a very good
Ratatouille is a movie that had enough cool ideas and enough fun characters. Linguini was a great time. Skinner was a great time. And it had stuff to like beyond, like, what Monsters U had. Monsters U, I still say, if it were not for its ending and not for Mike, which Mike comes with a caveat, unfortunately, if it were not for them, it would just straight up, I think, be bad. Mm. But because of those, I think it is passable. I think Ratatouille is kind of good, and kind of good is better than passable.
Okay. That is a very solid answer. I'm okay with that. So moving on up, I have Brave, and Random, you have Toy Story 3. I'll start. I think this was a kind of a tricky one, but I think this film is better than Brave. Certainly was like good enough, and also like, for as formulaic as it is at least solid in terms of script, which is more than I can say for Brave. Brave was all over the place. It had a bit of an identity crisis. And that's really sad for Brave, because there's still some stuff that I enjoyed, but I kind of had to like isolate a lot of it to get to it. Like, Random,
yes.
You have Toy Story 3.
Yes, I do.
Is this film better for you than Toy Story 3?
I could see the hate mail. Yes, I think Monsters University is better than Toy Story 3. You would think this movie would rely more on nostalgia than Toy Story 3 does, but it really doesn't.
I did notice that. There were some points where it was like, okay, that's a little much, but it was its own thing.
Yeah, it was its own thing, and sure, the designs of the toys were probably cooler in Toy Story 3. But,
yeah, that's fair.
But I still like... I just like the dynamic between Mike and Sully when they were Mike and Sully in this one. And
took some time to get
how,
there.
I like them and Uzma Kappa. And, I don't know, I just... And, of course, the ending. Yeah. This ending doesn't need nostalgia to make you cry.
Ooh, yes. Okay. Moving up, then. So, you have Brave, and I have Toy Story 3. Let's start with you then. Is Monsters University better than Brave?
Yes.
Okay. Do you want to explain?
I agree with you. It's an identity crisis. And
I might have spoiled that, haven't I?
No, it was a little bit. But it was not only that, it's just like, yes, the mother and daughter between Brave works. But, I don't know, I just feel Monsters U has more strengths than that.
Even though there were a lot of weak points, I think that the ending for it especially just made me enjoy it more, like, overall. Oh, yeah, my turn. Yes, this is better than Toy Story 3. For much of the same reasons as you said, was that for they're both kind of similar in that they're going off the success of a previous franchise. Like you said, the nostalgia was handled a lot better. The ending worked a lot better than it did here. I just kind of enjoyed myself more overall than I did with Toy Story 3. Toy Story 3 was, like, bothersome. Now is time where the two of us have the same film, and that film happens to be Cars.
It's gonna be good. Uh-huh. Can't wait for both of you to say you like MU more.
You don't know about that. I don't know about that.
Do you want to start?
You know me. You know me. I always assume people say they won't like Cars. You know me.
This is so tough.
Mm-hmm.
I've made my decision.
Now, wait just a darn minute.
Oh. So, random bystander here. Do you think Cars is worse than Monsters U or vice versa?
Monsters University is worse than Cars.
Okay. You better elaborate on that.
Okay, it's very slim for me, but yes, Mike is a much better protagonist. It's great, but everything around Lightning is more well developed and better characterized, and not everyone is immediate. Mean to Lightning, and if they do, he deserves it. The end. Both have very powerful endings, and I do agree Monsters University ending is better. I like the message of Cars' ending, but the one deciding factor was the villain. Chick Hicks is so much better and funnier than that bully will ever be.
Man, can you imagine if the bully just once said ka-chigga, ka-chigga, ka-chigga?
That would give it some time.
Then Monsters U would have been my favorite.
Yeah, forget Up.
But yeah, it was really, really tough, but it really comes down, because if it weren't for the, came down to, I hate the bully, therefore it's not as good as Cars. And you could feel free to disagree with me, and you probably will. But as of this moment, and this may change, mm-hmm. This I may pull my own ranking bait and switch, like, next week. But I, right now... Cars is better than Monsters U.
Okay.
But it's so close. Your turn.
Well, let me just say, I'm really annoyed because you stole my reason. It was the villain. Cars is better than Monsters University, mostly because Chick Hicks, and that's the thing, Chick Hicks is so, like, point by point the bully. Michael Keaton put so much charm into Chick Hicks. And it was, like, so much so that, like, we were gravely disappointed that he wasn't showing up in Cars 2.
He would have made Cars 2 better.
A tiny bit.
He totally would have.
But, yeah. But, God. That bully... Like I said, single worst Pixar villain. Just awful. Hollow. Nothing else to it. Beyond that, like you said, it is razor-thin margin. They are so close. I like the ending for Monsters University far more than for Cars.
Another reason I like Cars is that there's a lot of the film in Monsters University that makes me go, ugh, this part.
Yeah.
And with Cars, it's not nearly as bad. Like, the only part that made me go, ugh, this part was Rusty's. And that was only a few seconds, not a third of the movie.
Yeah. I will still say that, like, I still feel that, like, Cars was a little on the long side. Maybe it's, like, its highs weren't as high, but it was a little more consistently good than Monsters University.
Do the math, Wash.
We have our rankings here. So from the bottom up, we have Cars 2, a 25, A Buzz Life, at 26, Ratatouille at 31, Toy Story 3 at 35, Brave at 36, Monsters University at 36.
Oh my God.
Wait, Brave and Monsters University are now tied?
Toy Story 2 at 44, Cars at 47, Toy Story 1 at 48, Monsters Inc. at 51, Wall-E at 54, Up at 57, Finding Nemo at 59, Incredible at 60. There's yet another tie for 9th.
Oh my God.
That's pathetic.
At least it's not with Toy Story 3 anymore.
I wonder if I had kept that rank and whether there would have been a three-way tie somehow. But good lord, how is there a fight for mediocre?
Because no one wants to get to that bad Pixar film tier.
Yeah,
which,
well, you know what?
We're not gonna have to deal with next episode.
This is a good way to end a very rough month, because from the start of August to the very end, we've had to deal with a very low point for Pixar. And the thing is, considering how we felt before Monsters University and Toy Story 3, I don't want to say anything.
Yeah.
I'm gonna watch it, and then I'll know for sure. I'm scared. I'm honestly really scared.
I was confident going into The Incredibles, but I was also scared.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? You were scary on the outside, but on the inside, you're terrified.
That's actually a good quote, though.
Yeah.
And on that note,
I think that's a perfect place to end it. Thanks so much for watching, folks.
Thank you.
Indeed. Thank you. I'm Random Bystander here.
I'm the Wash.
And I've been a real jerk.
God damn it. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.